He's gone mad. He's gone mad. Other translations put it, he's out of his mind. And it's that theme of being out of your mind that I want to riff on and play with this morning. Are you out of your mind? That's what my dad said to me when I got my ear pierced at the age of 15. I was undergoing chemotherapy treatments at the time, and I needed a decision that I could call my own. A few years later, so my late teens, I got my first tattoo. The response, this time from my mom, was the same. Are you sure about this? AKA, are you out of your mind? You know, you might be denied jobs because of that. No job denials because of tattoos. It's not saying that you should or shouldn't, just saying. That was my mom being polite, though. Several years later, I joined the Canadian Forces Primary Reserve as an infantry soldier. Same response, a bit stronger. You sure about this one? Oddly enough, when later in life I decided to go to seminary in order to become a minister, my parents didn't say, "Are you out of your mind?" Each of these is a relatively minor case of being asked if you're out of your mind. And I imagine that each of you have had someone in your own life ask if you were out of your mind with some decision you were making. And I suspect that you have asked or thought that very same thing about a decision that someone you know was making. Are you out of your mind? Have you gone mad? Well, the crowds were gathered around Jesus that day, and they said, "He is out of his mind." For many years, centuries even, Christianity has been a dominant voice, but no longer. So we must be out of our minds to continue following the teachings that we find in this ancient book. We must be out of our minds because we believe that God is good and that God sent his Son to show us a better way. We must be out of our minds for following a God who allowed himself to be killed. And we must be out of our minds because clearly we believe the stuff of fairy tales. We must be out of our minds for believing that this same God who allowed himself to be killed did so to show us that cycles of violence don't work. But 2,000 years later, and we still haven't understood that message. We must be out of our minds because Jesus Christ taught a radical message of inclusion, something which our polarized and highly politicized society has not heard. We must be out of our minds because we still show up on a Sunday morning and worship. Meanwhile, statistics show that fewer and fewer people believe in God, that people do not have faith in the institution which is the church. And can you blame them? Personally, I'm less interested in propping up how good the church is and far more interested in demonstrating how good God is. I read an interesting quote this week from the Reverend Dr. Sarah Travis. Sarah is a minister in the Presbyterian Church in Canada. And she offered this quote or these words as a result of some of the discussion which occurred at General Assembly this past week. Sarah writes, "Our task as Christians is not to ensure the survival of the church. The church does not belong to us. After all, resurrection has a prerequisite. Perhaps the church is called to lay down its life for its friends. Resistance, radical hospitality, and subverting the powers might get us killed, but have we forgotten that it is in dying that we rise? And it seems to me that as the church, as Christians, as all of us, we have emerged over the centuries, this idea of being out of our minds has diminished. And we've lost the impact of this passage. Those who first saw Jesus and the work that he was doing thought he was out of his mind. His own family thinks he's out of his mind. And we seem hesitant to take risks that our faith might require. Today, we welcomed elders into the session, ordaining a new elder. Where's Janet? There she is. I'm even used to looking here. And next week, we're welcoming new members. And to these events, some people might say, "Are you out of your mind? What are you doing?" I have to be honest that all of this reminds me of a scene in Star Wars, A New Hope. So that's the first Star Wars film for those who, you know, aren't up on their Star Wars. So Luke Skywalker says to Han Solo, "You don't believe in the Force, do you?" And Han Solo replies, "Kid, I've flown from one side of this galaxy to the other, and I've seen a lot of strange stuff, but I've never seen anything to make me believe that there's one all-powerful force controlling everything. Because no mystical energy field controls my destiny. It's all a lot of simple tricks and nonsense." And we all laugh when Han says those words, because we know that in the Star Wars universe, the Force is real, and that the Force is at work in Han's life. But do you see the irony? We buy into the myth of Star Wars and what it offers, but in our own lives, in this world, we are skeptical, we doubt. We live in a culture which says, "You must be nuts." But friends, God is with us. The Holy Spirit is at work, and she is guiding us. Truth is, we don't want people saying to us that we are out of our minds. As the church, we have found ways to be harmless and benign. We have gone about doing our thing. We've watered down the difficult bits, made the radical ordinary, and turned hard truths into pleasantries. Stanley Hauerwas wrote, Christians in modernity thought their task was to make the gospel intelligible to the world, rather than to help the world understand why it could not be intelligible without the gospel. It is as if we are afraid of offending people because we believe in equality for all people. That people might laugh at the notion that everyone deserves a fair chance at life. That people might think that we are weak because we propose an alternative to violence. That we shouldn't comfort those who mourn or provide justice for those who are oppressed. That we shouldn't offer forgiveness just as we believe we have been forgiven. Clearly, we are out of our minds for wanting a more peaceable world, for standing up for God's kingdom. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We forget that Christianity is a religion founded on suffering. The suffering God hanging on a cross. Suffering because people didn't listen then, and because we still don't listen now. There's lines in the hymn we're about to sing, "The Church's One Foundation." They go, "Though with a scornful wonder the world sees us oppressed, by schism rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Their cry goes up, how long? But soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song." The message of the gospel is radical and it is countercultural. People should be saying, "You are out of your mind." And when they do, and they will, know that you are in good company. Thanks be to God. Amen.